Item 10.4, Amendment C118 to the Manningham Planning Scheme, application of the Heritage Overlay to 5 Ian's Grove, Templestowe Lower, authorisation and exhibition. Do I have a mover? Councillor Chen.
Madam Mayor, I move that the recommendation be adopted.
Do I have a seconder? Councillor McLeish. Councillor Chen.
Yes, Madam Mayor. Council received a nomination to include 5 Ian's Grove, Lower Templestowe in the Heritage Overlay of the Manningham Planning Scheme on the basis of the historical significance and a unique example of the post-Second World War modernism by a notable architect. A few months later, Council also received an application for a planning permit to build 2 houses on that piece of land, and that means the existing house will be demolished. The application has received 23 objections, all on heritage grounds. Because of the objectives' concerns and the time frame to consider the planning permit, Council has received preliminary advice from the Council's internal heritage advisor. The advisor said that the property warrants heritage protection because of its local significance. An independent heritage consultant has also provided nearly the same advice because of local significance. And the independent advisor also mentioned about the nomination is thoroughly researched and well reasoned. I move that Council request the Minister for Planning for an interim heritage overlay controls as a matter of urgency, and Council seek authorization from the Minister to prepare and exhibit the planning scheme amendment for permanent heritage overlay controls. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor McLeish.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I have to admit to being somewhat caught between a rock and a hard place on this particular matter, Madam Mayor. Our municipality developed in the late 60s and 70s. A huge spurt of growth saw the municipality built out. And it was built out in a range of different ways. There are estates developed where we had a formula housing built, and there were individually architecturally designed homes. Some of those, again, were just templated, where a particular design was repeated in various locations around the city. But we also have some that are quite special, and this particular one lies towards that end of the scale. It's quite an interesting built form. You don't see many houses designed this way. Some would say it's a clone of other designs. That may well be true. I don't really think I'm the expert to decide it. But we can see from the experts that we have paid to produce a report that they believe that this particular house is of local significance. And it should be said, Madam Mayor, that it isn't always the case that something has to be a 50 or 100 or 200 years old before you consider it to be worthy of heritage value. Something can be as little as 50 years old, 40 years old even, and it still has heritage significance because of the unique form, the unique presentation, its context. And in this particular development, we have a house that is in its context, suburban Doncaster. It's right there, suburban Manningham, the built form, a unique piece of design. Should we determine to actually protect it, or at least begin the process of considering it for protection? Because in the end, that's what we're doing today. We're considering it for protection. We are asking it to go out to a panel and have it considered for protection. And I'm not convinced that we have enough information before us to decide against that, to actually decide to demolish it. Of course, the hard place in this is the position it places the owner, who wants to redevelop the site because they want to proceed. We've seen examples of this around Melbourne recently where the minister actually tried to intervene in something. Of course, they weren't quite successful, were they? A bulldozer was brought in, the hotel was demolished. And that particular matter is still working its way through various jurisdictions. We're not in that position here yet. We are fortunate that we're actually able to consider beginning the process for heritage protection. And this property may not succeed in that. It may get to the end of it and fail the request for heritage protection. The panel may recommend against that. The question is, councillors, are we going to take this forward and have it considered for heritage protection? And that's what the motion before us tonight seeks to do. Thank you.
Thank you. Speakers against? Councillor Goff.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. And I rise to speak against this particular motion. And I actually find it difficult to actually have this come. At the printing of the minutes, this wasn't around. It did come later. It's in here in a report at the last minute. The very fact is that an applicant with blocks of units on one side and two large townhouses facing the front on the other side, who's owned this property, wants to develop it and has put in a planning application. And whilst that planning application's been in for quite some time now, council is ready to make a determination on it. But the night before, we want to slap a heritage order on this property that there's been no heritage order on this before. That is not the way I believe our citizens in our city should be treated, and it's not the way I would like to be known as a councillor to be treating our citizens in our area. A person buys a property and it's probably maybe one of their greatest investments and have a future dream of what they want to do on an unencumbered property. And at the last minute, when they're wanting to get their dream home up or their redevelop it up, council comes in and slaps a heritage order over their property. An interim order that means that that process cannot continue until a whole lot of other things are done. It could be a year, it could be 2 years. This is not fair. If we thought that this house was of some importance, we should have had it on a list. We've had a number of heritage studies over the years that I've been a councillor, and this house has not attended on it. And yes, it is there. Beware anyone that owns a triple front cream brick veneer in Bulleen, or beware anyone that owns a house built in the 1960s, and hopefully beware of anyone that's got a display home or an ex-display home, because you will be next to have a heritage order slapped over you. This is really not on as far as I'm concerned, councillors, and I'm not going to stand here tonight and ask us to go over with this because I believe that it is a misuse of our council power at this late stage. I believe that we should not do this. If you want into the future go into doing another study, that's another thing. But at this particular stage, I think it is a council acting extremely badly and being a bully to people in our community. Councillors, I urge that you vote against this, and if you do, I'll move a motion that we don't continue.
Okay. Any speakers for? Councillor Haynes.
I've got a few questions, Madam Mayor. I am conflicted as well. Councillor Goff mentioned unencumbered properties and heritage overlays and things, and just that council is bullying these people. I'm conflicted as to what that means. I personally have a house that was built same era by a person that thinks that he designed it well, and I've thankfully been able to change it way before we got to this point of a heritage overlay consideration, because I too am conflicted over what it might mean for these people. But I truly believe that if something has 32 submissions and a heritage review on it that requests for, and it's an independent report, then I truly believe that we need to at least consider it, and that we at least need the panel to consider it. And I think we need to consider the clay tiles and the other things to do with it. And I don't think we'll be putting any heritage overlays on any triple brick front houses, so I think that's a bit of an overstatement. But I do believe that because something isn't an unencumbered property, that doesn't mean it shouldn't have that put on it if it has been noted by an independent person that it's possible that it should have encumbrances on it. I know that there are many properties around Manningham that probably do need to be reviewed in that way. And if this has been reviewed in that way, I truly believe that I need to still conflicted at this point, but I'm definitely more supporting this motion based on the heritage report and the fact that it would only be going to a panel and the decision that won't be made by us.
Any speakers for?
That was four.
Okay. Any speakers against? Councillor Conlon?
I probably agree with a lot of what Councillor Goff has, sorry Matt, through you, Madam Mayor, has said. Another point is just regarding the features that supposedly make this a heritage building is around the central court concept, which you can only see or appreciate when you're inside the house. So it's just a facade and not a particularly attractive one to a lot of people that we're trying to protect in terms of the public's understanding of the public's appreciation of this supposed heritage building. Along with Councillor Goff, I agree that it's completely unfair to impose these sort of restrictions on people at the death knock. Not sure where the motivation has come from for the objections. I would note that a lot of them came from New South Wales. I don't understand why someone in New South Wales would be so interested in the heritage of Manningham. But so be it. I guess the lack of, you know, we've had some hairy decisions, I guess. This gallery's been packed. Don't see that. In terms of interesting built form, in my opinion, we all have an aesthetic sense, and we should be able to look at a building and say, is that interesting, or is it beautiful, interesting, or ugly? Now, I haven't heard anyone say this building is beautiful, so it may be interesting. I'll tend on the other side, but the point I'm trying to make is that we actually had our own tastes and opinions of what should be kept as heritage, and this does not, in my opinion, fallen within that. And I think we should be grown-ups and make that decision. We can make that decision without going to some expert on what is good, but what is supposed heritage when you can only see a front, which is doesn't really reflect the substantial design features that the justification is being made on. In terms of the context, driving down that street, even now, it looks like it's completely out of context to me, that building. I can understand a heritage building in the midst of, you know, like era buildings, but this, and maybe some heritage buildings that actually look quite attractive in a modern setting, this in my opinion does not. If every house that's been designed by an architect and was built in the 60s and is subject to this sort of thing, then I, my house is in time. I'll finish up there. Thanks. It's the first time I've gone over time.
Very good. Thank you. Any speakers for?
Question, Madam Mayor.
Yes.
Oh, ask a question of the director. What we're asking the minister to make an interim order. What's the process, briefly, from that point?
The process, and we need to start it quite quickly after that, so it sets a signal. We would then start the permanent process, because it's an interim, just to stop the permit from having a decision on that. We would then be putting the amendment on exhibition, so we normally would go out there for 4 weeks. We would get submissions. Those submissions would come back to this council, and you'd have a decision on whether, because at this stage, you might decide not to send those to a panel, so at each point of the way, the next point would be you could take those, suggest that they go off to an independent panel, or you could abandon the amendment at that stage. If you went off to an independent panel, the panel comes back to council, you can look at the panel's recommendation, and once again, you can also say we agree or disagree with the panel. Yeah. If you agree with the panel, you can either abandon at that stage, or you send it off to the minister. So there would be two more steps in the process where council would be making the decision.
Thank you, Director.
And that's why it was mentioned that does tend to take 12 months because of that length of the number of iterations.
Thank you.
Okay.
Madam Mayor, I also have a question.
Councillor McLeish.
Thank you. Could we have some information about whether the owner of this property is liable to incur any costs in going through that process, and what such costs would likely be for, and whether council will incur costs in going through that process, and what for, and if you know, how much?
Through you, Madam Mayor. Because it would be our amendment, as opposed to if an applicant comes to us, they pay the full panel cost, and there's a submission fee, so we will be up for costs. It's very hard to panel cost because it depends on how many submissions and how many days it goes for, but that tends to be the most expensive component of the process, will be the panel period, and we are up for the full costs of the panel. I'd like to have a prediction. I do have my manager here, but a panel cost these days for just one day. I mean, you are potentially, you're talking in the thousands. And obviously then, you know, we've got all the exhibition costs and that whole process. So they will all be, it's a bit hard because the owner, you know, he might then want to, if, and this is all ifs, because if it got to a panel, he'd obviously want to be represented. Well, that'd be at his cost, but he doesn't incur the costs of, but no doubt he would have costs that he would accrue during the process.
For follow-up, if I may, Madam, it costs for representation for their own report, that sort of thing?
Yes. That's on the assumption that they would put in an objection to the amendment. So these are all just, you know, there's scenarios that we can't predict, but that's the most likely scenario.
Councillor Galbley has a question.
To you, Director. Executive Officer. The costs of the amendment process, you said thousands. Would you say tens of thousands or what?
The panel costs it usually depends. If there are only two people that make a submission or there are 50 people and the panel goes for 5 days, that's where the bulk of the big cost is.
So if it went for 5 days, how
then, then you'd be up for, it's hard to imagine you'd have that many days, but yeah.
Just as a guess.
You're talking about a couple of thousand dollars.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
And every day.
For each day, almost.
Could
every day.
For every day. So, and If this council allowed it to go through, can the owner of the property then take us to VCAT over our decision? And would we then?
Through you, Madam, I'm not quite sure what scenario you're talking about, because this is a planning amendment process which would stop the planning permit from being.
It stops the planning permit while it sits at the minister's office, but they can't sort of at any point.
No, because then it's on a different track. So that's why you do this process, to stop the other one.
Okay. Any other questions? Yes, Councillor Conlon.
Regarding this VCAT, assuming that it gets a heritage, it goes through this whole process, along the way, is there any opportunity for VCAT to get involved from the owner's perspective in terms of overruling an overlay, or is that it?
All right, and through you, Madam Mayor, the only way at the moment, I'm just trying to think, because I don't think the 60 days are quite up, that's another a scenario. If Council didn't make any decision tonight, they could then take us off what's called a failure to make a decision, because we wouldn't have any clear outcome, and that would be a VCAT route. But if a decision is made tonight about the amendment, there is then no VCAT process until that amendment process gets played out.
But once the amendment, I'm talking about once the amendment.
Oh, process. Once the amendment's played out, they could still take us to VCAT, but obviously it'd be much harder for them if the overlay got put in place.
Mm-hmm.
I have one further question.
Okay, Councillor Haynes.
Still can. Madam Mayor, through you, the overlay, the heritage overlay that would be on it, that if this did get happened through the heritage report, and it's where people can't see it. Is that common on properties, that we have a heritage overlay on properties that the public don't get to see? Do we have buildings with heritage significance that people cannot see? That's my question.
Through you, Madam Mayor, no. That's not possible.
We don't have any buildings within Manningham that have a heritage significance overlay on them, and you can't actually see by the driving down the street that it's there.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant that they're not transparent in the planning scheme. Sorry for you, Madam Mayor.
So if I was driving down the street, would I know that there's heritage overlays on other buildings within Manningham that can't be seen?
Yeah. No.
And correct me if I'm wrong here, but in terms of there potentially could be heritage overlays applied to buildings with internal features that couldn't be seen by the public, fireplaces or whatever else, so they could exist out there.
So that's not uncommon.
It could happen.
So it's not uncommon for a heritage overlay. I'm just trying to figure out. Yep.
How many there are in Manningham on that basis, I don't know, but certainly staircase and those types of features from time to time and those types of period buildings would be. This one's a little bit different because those internal features, well, but they could be out there just because the public can't see them. Doesn't mean they wouldn't be protected.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
The answer is yes.
Question, Councillor Goff.
I'd like to know if the applicant wished to object and come to the panel, do they need to be represented? And if they need to go off, do they need to be represented? And if they do, will Council pay all their representation fees, or how much would it cost them to get a lawyer to work to get to represent them at the panel if we force it on them?
That's very hard through you, Madam Mayor. They could just represent themselves, but I'd certainly. It is more usual, though, when people come with objections to something like this, they would get expert witnesses, and yes, that would incur costs, but certainly council, because it would be a council resolution, the costs are borne by the objectors.
The costs are borne by the objectors, so they'd have to pay their own people as well as not getting the project.
Okay. Councillor.
Final question, I'm sorry.
I'll go to one question, and then you get a chance to wrap up as the mover. Oh, you have a question as well. So, Councillor.
Okay, sorry, that's a question.
Did you have a question?
Yes, I do. My question is it possible, because of the complexity of this, that we could just move to not pass a motion either way and abandon this actual number, whatever it is we're doing? This whole motion, just abandon the whole thing and go, we're not prepared to make a decision on it. Is that possible?
Anything's possible, Councillor Haynes.
What's the consequences of that?
Well, exactly what you'd be moving. That would be. It would. You'd be wouldn't make a decision. Okay.
You're moving a motion to withdraw.
Okay, would I be allowed to do that? Oh.
Yes, you are.
After my question.
Okay.
It takes precedence.
I think you'll find Councillor Haynes asked if she's allowed to. She didn't actually move it.
Yes.
No, I haven't. I've just
been allowed to do it.
Actually, and what the consequences would be?
I can't answer. Through you, Madam Mayor, I can answer the consequences. I'm not quite sure about the procedural, but the consequences is we've got a planning permit that's come in, and the clock's ticking. And as I mentioned earlier, after 60 days, they can call us, they can go to VCAT for a failure to have made a decision. Our statutory planning group, who have had all these objections, have to do due consideration, which includes going to our heritage advisor, which triggered the request, as the report says, came in before the planning application came in to consider this. So we're in that process. So we just leave the officers in a bit of a limbo, but in terms of being able to...
So this historical overlay request came in before the planning application
yes.
came in?
Yes, it did come in before.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Councillor Chin.
By quite some time.
I'm just to continue that question. And this is exactly quite a simple issue because the nomination was submitted in July last year. And the planning application was in November last year. There was about 5 months or 4 months gap, 5 months gap. So can the officer explain if that during the normal circumstances, the heritage overlay probably has been approved. There will be no such issue about the planning permit that put the councillor in a limbo to make a hard decision. Can the officer explain why that hasn't been done? And it possible that the nomination probably has been approved and a heritage overlay should have already been put on their property under normal circumstances without any well unforeseen risk or situation? Thank you.
To you, Madam Mayor, that would have been ideal, but I think people might remember that time period of the year last year. By the time we got the submission and started looking at it, we were in what was called the caretaker mode, and we weren't able to come to council. So unfortunately, because we had to go and do some work before then, so it's actually been difficult to get back to.
Question, Madam Mayor.
Question, Councillor Gough.
Does caretaker mode mean that council officers can't do their job and prepare things for a meeting straight after caretaker mode? I don't know, because
the
councillors can't make a decision.
Thank you.
I think the director's made it quite clear that ideally, when this nomination came in July, it would have been dealt with, but it wasn't.
Well, we've been here for another 5 or 6 months.
That's the case, ideally, but the permit has come in after that, and there's been a gap of 4 months. So ideally, again, as the director has pointed out, if it had been dealt with in that period, it may have either postponed the planning application, or it may not have. But we're not in that situation. The situation we find ourselves in now is that the planning permit application has come in and this has happened afterwards.
Okay. Another question, Councillor Gough.
Is the person that actually put in this submission for this protection have any relationship whatsoever with the owner of the property or any business dealings or any contractual obligations with this person? Are they a tenant or something like that of the house? Were they?
I'd need to take that question on notice, Councillor.
I think
it's... Well, the nomination, the report, I refer us, councillors, to the report on page 2 through you, Madam Mayor. That the nomination from a local resident, not the property owner, was received in July, paragraph 2.
And what was the address of that person?
Doesn't say.
I've got a question.
Councillor...
Further questions. Sorry, I'm becoming more and more confused. This application for the planning permit came in November. Last time I checked, that was more than 60 days. Please help me understand why we're here in April doing this and why I haven't even heard about the heritage thing until the planning application came forward with delays in time. And where the 60 days come from if it was put in November? I'm confused as to process.
Through you, Madam Mayor, like with all planning permits, when they walk in, often we need further information, and sometimes it takes quite a while for that further information. It actually didn't go out for public advertising until, I think it was in March, so that's when it was even more brought to our attention. So, you know, the clock stops and then it starts again, but certainly it is still within the 60-day period at the moment, but I think it's very close to finishing for the number of days.
Thank you. Councillor Galbally.
Yes, look, I was under the impression, whether I read it somewhere, that the tenant... No. All right. So what is the relevance, please, of the of when the application for the heritage study or heritage nomination came through and the planning nomination? I'm not understanding what that relationship or why there should be a relationship between the July of when the nomination for heritage came through and when the applicant actually hit our desks, because... Yep, you can answer.
Yes. CEO.
I'll do my best. Because the nomination for the heritage overlay came in prior to the planning permit coming in, if the program had commenced then, that would have informed potentially the permit application that happened in November.
So we're assuming that the permit applicant had no idea before July.
I don't know whether he did. I don't know whether they would have or they wouldn't have. Yeah. It's unlikely, okay, because the nomination process runs parallel.
Okay, Councillor Chen, would you like to wrap it up? If you'd like.
Yes, Madam Mayor. Tonight we are talking about the heritage overlay. And that will be, well, that's before heritage overlay, and then we are only considering an interim heritage protection. And we have got two advisors. They all identified they are... this property is of local significance. We are not the expert. And I will always think that we should respect and look deeply about what they said in the report. And I draw councillors' attention, and Madam Mayor, if I may, there are 8 criteria in the heritage overlay scheme. And the advisor said that they meet 4 of the 8 criteria. If we apply for heritage overlay, you only need 1. And this property meet 2 criteria. We are not talking about whether they are heritage overlay or only or local significance, or we are not talking about the motives or whatever, or whether there's a relevant with the tenant or the owner or on any conflict of interest or whatever. We are looking at the 2 reports and considering whether the property is subject to interim heritage overlay protection. And then we leave to the minister to make the decision. And that is all we can consider tonight. And also, if I may, Madam Mayor, I wish to draw your attention to the Plan Melbourne we all talk about tonight, or before, sorry. And they have the direction and they have the policy. Direction 4.4 says quite clearly that the respect Melbourne's heritage as we build from for the future. And also policy 4.4.1. Let me read it. Recognize the need for continuous identification of currently unprotected heritage sites. And this is what I ask for the council to consider tonight. Just an interim heritage protection. Nothing more, nothing less. Thank you.
Okay, let's put that to a vote. All those in favour? Against? All those against?
Can you start again? You're confusing.
Okay. Those 4? Against? It's carried.
Sorry.
As in against. Lost. It's lost. Sorry. I voted against the... Yeah.
Division?
Yeah,
that's fine. Division.
You need to? Division, okay. All right. So those for the motion, Councillor Chen, Councillor Haynes, Councillor McLeish, Councillor Piccinini, those against? Councillor Zephyropoulos, Councillor Goff, Councillor Conlon, Councillor Galbally, Councillor Clonan.